I didn't curse you, Sarah, because normally when I catch my cycle, you get upset and you like, damn it, Shantae. And I'm just like, sorry.
You know what? I had my IUD put in so I would stop having all the weird periods. And I hadn't had one for like 2 months. And I was just like, yeah, the IUD finally kicked in. Yeah, I started my period last week. I ended on Mother's Day, but it wasn't like a full one, it was just a little spotting.
Yeah, mine started the day after Mother's Day.
So we're like back to back.
Because that's because we talk all the time.
All I know is the world better watch out if we're going back to back on our periods.
Welcome to the weekly show about art, politics, and pop culture from a phenomenally female perspective. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane, and this is Unapologetically She.
Welcome to another episode of Unapologetically She. We are in season 3, episode 10 overall, episode 51. Damn it. That's 2 years and how many months? And well, basically 26 months we've been doing this overall. 26 months. That's 2 years. It's dog years. So we started and we started, yes, we started on International Women's Day, also an election year. And we're doing this again in election year. This is sounds great. Our sister, Elian, will be back next episode. She will be back with her sauciness. But I am here with the one and only Sarah. And she has a nice haircut. It's really nice. I mean, she looks like a cartoon character. She looks like she, now, I always say she looks like Lois Lane, but now she looks like to be a part of Sailor Moon, so the way she has her hair right now.
I'll take it. I was thinking it gave more the Tinkerbell
I don't see Tinkerbell in you. You're too saucy for pink Tinkerbell.
This is
More of like
true.
an anime cartoon character. You got like the whole headphones and the hoodie and
I'll take it. I'll take it. Why
so how was your week
not?
besides having a nice haircut?
It was good. It was good. We went to Dina's concert, her spring concert at school last night. And when I went and got my hair cut, I took Dina with me. We had like a mommy-daughter salon day. So that was nice. And yeah. That's pretty much been my week, other than work.
And also to all the mothers out there and the mother figures out there, those who are taking care of other people's children, happy Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day. And Sarah, I think I told you this on Sunday, but happy Mother's Day.
You. We spent that. I booked the reservations for where I wanted to have brunch on Mother's Day. Yeah. And we went to this We went to this little cafe that is it's just a local business, not a chain, but it's trans and non-binary owned.
That's
Like
nice.
but it's employee owned. So we went there and it was nice. I liked the vibe, liked the atmosphere. It was cool. Good prices, really good food. Yeah, it was good. I'll be going back. And then we went down to the Art Center, the Capital Region Art Center, because Dina's school district has all of the K-12 like art students. They've got their art on display there. So we went
That's
and
really
saw
nice.
that. Yeah.
So you had like a nice Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was nice, laid back, chill. which is pretty much what I like because, you know, my anxiety likes to go haywire if I'm in like really large crowds or whatever. So it was just nice and laid back and cool.
My Mother's Day was pretty simple, besides the fact that my sister's home now from, she had like a procedure. She broke her leg, but she's fine.
Good.
But we all made sure we had our stuff for Mother's Day. Even her, she already had like her card and her money in the card ready. We all basically gave our mother money. Like I gave my mom a gift card. She gave my mom $50 in cash. I think my eldest sister made dinner. She made lasagna. She haven't made lasagna in like 3 years.
Wow.
So yeah. It's been a long time. And so she made us all lasagna. It was really nice. So my mother had a peaceful Mother's Day, and
Good.
it was good. We went to church,
Yeah.
so it was nice. So it was good to hear. My sister heard the sermon, a little bit of the sermon. So not bad at all. The main thing is my sister's better, and she was like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry if I'm in the hospital for Mother's Day." She was like, "It's fine." And she was just like, "I didn't want to be, but I
Well,
hurt
I mean,
myself."
it happens and she shouldn't
It
feel bad about
yeah,
it.
exactly. She doesn't feel
Like,
bad. So we told her not to feel bad. But I said, "Well, at least you had your card and stuff together." She was like, "Yeah, because I made sure I put some money in the car so my mom has some extra cash. Plus, I think I gave her a Kohl's gift card so my mom can go shopping." So my sister made dinner, and I think she gave her some flowers and everything. And it's also kind of like a hard Mother's Day for my mom too, because my mom, it's been 8 years since my grandmother passed. So, and that was my mom's mom. So to all, I did like a, I reached out to my friends that lost their moms, even though some of them are moms. So
It's a bittersweet day for those of us that are in that club. Because it's awesome, like, because you have your child and they're usually, typically, they're good all day because it's Mother's Day and they're being extra good and they get you little presents and stuff. And but at the other, on the other hand, it totally fucking sucks because you miss your mom. So I get it. I get it. Yeah. On to happier subjects, please.
Yes. So I believe I'm with drink of the week, right? Yeah.
Yep,
You
your
know, because
turn.
Shanti, you don't drink as much. I was like, I just don't drink hard liquor because like I want my life, and because a lot of the vodka and the liquor has a lot of sugar in it. People don't realize that it has a lot of sugar in it. So you gotta be careful. And I want my livers. I need my livers to hang with me. It's just to be here and my kidneys to be here with me. So what I do wine. And I actually have my sparkling wine chilling in the freezer, which is, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Barefoot, which is my favorite line of wine, sparkly, bubbly, well, bubbly pink Moscato. That's one of my favorites. And I'm gonna think I'm gonna buy the green bottle this weekend. So treat myself to a little bottle of wine because I work hard. So yeah. So
I'm still trying to find out what Moscato they had at the pub at the hotel I stayed at for Lauren Ashley's wedding, 'cause they had like a nice little fizzy Moscato that was really good.
you should have took a picture of the bottle. That's what you should have did
I
and ordered from
should have.
wine.com.
I should have, and I didn't even think about it. And so I've been calling their food and beverage manager, and she doesn't have voicemail. So I keep calling and calling and calling to
I'm
see
gonna
if
need for
she'll
you
pick
people to get.
up.
How about do they have email? They need to check the goddamn email.
That's where I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to. I'm gonna have to email them or something tomorrow.
Email them and put in the subject line urgent or attention needed. Regarding my
Urgent. I need to know what your wine is.
exactly. Listen, I need to know so I can order from wine.com. Listen, because sometimes they don't sell certain things, like certain things down here, like in my neighborhood, they will sell, but then I gotta either go downtown or go to the hood and go get my stuff.
Yeah. Well, see, and like the stuff that we drank, the stuff that I drank, it reminded me a lot of a Moscato that I used to buy at on base when I was in Korea. It tasted almost exactly the same. It just had that, it wasn't like champagne, but it had some effervescence to it, and it was sweet and it was great. And this wine that I had in Buffalo tasted almost exactly like it. But the one that I used to drink in Korea, I cannot find anywhere in New York State. Nowhere in New York State carries the brand.
You
So I
may probably
gotta,
find it in the city somewhere. Who knows?
I don't know. But I'm gonna have to, I wanna find out from this food and beverage manager what that Moscato was so I can freaking buy it.
I'm gonna need for you to answer, ma'am.
Speaking of answers.
Burning questions. So here we go. I gotta sign this shit too, because normally I'll be interested to listen to what Ileana and Sarah got to say and everything. No. Yeah, so So we're in springtime. I was gonna do a little spring thing, but I'm nostalgic from what some folks told me. Yeah, Shantae's nostalgic. Well, guess what? These little kids want to be nostalgic. It's not nostalgic, it's called timeless. I'm a timeless person. So I was, going through my music and everything, going through like everything and like talking, having conversations with people, real life people. And I say, I miss having an iPad and a CD player. So if you were to choose right now, mostly for millennials and up, millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, you get to participate in this. So if you had to choose, what would you choose? Having an iPad, no, an iPod, a CD player, a Walkman, a stereo, or just a streaming service. Five options.
Okay, well, I don't need an iPad because I have an iPhone. So I can listen to music that way. I would have to go with a CD player or like a Discman because the Walkmans, like going back to cassette tapes, no fucking thank you. Because if the cassette tapes got eaten in the player, you had to one, hope that it didn't wrinkle the tape up inside and rip it. Or yeah, and then you had to make sure you didn't tangle it and very carefully stick your pencil in that hole in the cassette tape and wind it back in. No. I was so glad when cassette tapes made their exit. Just no. No. I would say like a Discman. Because even going back before cassette tapes, like if you go back to 8-track, same fucking problem as cassette tapes. Like, that's how old I am. I remember fucking 8-tracks, people, okay?
My parents had one.
We had one in our car. We had one in our car. Yeah. And then my grandparents had that big sound unit, like the big wooden one that was heavy as fuck. And you lift up the lid, and it's got the turntable, it's got the cassette tapes, it's got the fucking 8-track, it's got the AM/FM radio on it. The only thing it didn't have was CD player in it because they didn't have CD players at the time. Yeah, I would go with a Discman with a CD player because I've still got like hundreds and hundreds of CDs.
Sarah, I agree with you. I'm a CD person. I still got my stereo in the closet. Somebody said, "Does that still work?" I said, "If I plug the motherfucking thing in, it's still in the box. It still works." So yes, I got my CDs. Still have it, and I have my Best of Prince, which I was like looking at. I was just like, "Oh, I do have a Best of Prince, not just my mom, but me." Yes, and I still got my CDs. People are like, "You didn't throw out your CDs." I was like, "Why would I throw out stuff that I paid for?"
Did you see that his estate released a new song of his, like in the last few days?
Oh, I did not know.
Not a whole album, just one song.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it yet. I haven't had a chance.
But when he puts out ballads, like he puts out R&B ballads, that's what I'm just talking about. Like, Adore was cool, but I do like Scandalous. Off the Batman soundtrack.
United States of Division.
So he was always ahead of his time.
Always, always. God,
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Shantae, the nostalgic one, will go with a CD player because I like the sound. of a CD. I like because it's clear. The only way it gets scratchy if you play the motherfucking song 1,000 times. It's always good to just let a CD just rock. Let an album play full flat. So you don't have to play the same fucking song. Because my dad used to play the same fucking song. And he would have to, but he knew how to clean a CD. But I'm just like, can you just listen to the rest of the album like all of us is doing?
See, that's where there is the benefit to 8-track. You had to listen to the whole album. You couldn't fast forward or rewind. You had to listen to the whole goddamn album on an 8-track. Buy your dad, go find your dad an 8-track player. Like, go look on
I don't want
vintage
that fucking
stores.
shit. I don't want that shit. That's how you're gonna be like, I don't want it. But he still listens to a Walkman with the radio because he listens to the, he likes to listen to the radio. He listens to the AM radio because he's like, this fucking shit playing on the motherfucking radio. It's music. I don't like this shit. Yeah. I can kind of understand, sympathize with him, that one. Because I don't even listen to the radio no more. If a new song come out, it pops up on my iTunes. Because at this point, I'm just like, I don't like to listen to people that talk too much on the radio. If you're not playing music, shut up.
You know the funny thing? You're talking about your dad. Your dad reminds me of you with your R&B. Because you're just like the same thing with the new R&B songs. I don't like this shit. I don't want to
Because
listen to
you know what
shit.
it is, Sarah? It's too like how you say you don't like breathy singers. I kind of don't like them either. So when you said like how we talk, I don't like breathy singers. I really don't, because I feel like there's no runs, and like the songs is there's not a lot of songs about love no more. And I think R&B was always about love or feelings. It was not I ain't the baddest chick. I like to smoke every day. That's not R&B. R&B is about love and feelings, or like there's like an inspirational song there every now and then. It was always love. It was always about love and falling in love. Or I went through a breakup, I found her, I fell in love again. I still love you. You know, my dad and mom's time, it was about breakup and makeup sex. It was a lot of sex. My mom said they had great sex in the 70s. She ain't lie about that, because everybody was having sex in the 70s. And I'm pretty sure your mother told you before, you know, a lot of them had good sex. Because you know, you're a product of it. So they
If only that were the case, yeah.
I mean, I'm a
Oh,
product of
God.
it. I was born in the 80s. So it was still like slow music. It was breakdance era, but then it was like slow music. But yeah, folks, you know, the questions will be up on the social so you can participate. Some Gen Zs, you can participate in it, but if you're going to say something, please say something intelligent. So there we go.
So, getting through that segment, we will now go into our next segment, our shot and chaser, where if you are new, hello, really late entrance there, but welcome. This is where we each have a topic. We do not know who's going to talk about what. And that's our shot. Our chaser is basically our cold reactions to whatever topic is up. So, Shantae, you get us started, ma'am.
All right, so you know it's an election year. There's going to be times where I talk about the election. There's going to be times where I not talk about the election. I'm talking about the election this time.
There's
So
going to be a lot of election talk this year, like
yes,
this season on the show.
just alone. I don't know why the fuck we have undecided voters. I mean, at this point of time, it's literally a binary choice. There's nobody in the field you can choose. On the Republican side, no, on the Democratic side. We already got the nominees. It's May. It's the middle of May. We're about to enter in the summer season. High campaign gear. There's going to be debates scheduled. Yes, the old men are debating. Yes, the old men. So I was watching a clip of Arizona, Arizonian women, or women from Arizona that's in the business field. I guess they're independent voters. They're
Arizonan.
undecided. Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Arizonan. Yep.
The West Coast checked me. So, Arizona.
Only because I lived in Arizona for a year.
Arizona.
I was corrected real quick when I lived there. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Arizona women. And they were undecided. They were having wine and cheese, all that dumb shit outside. Lucky they didn't get bit by a mosquito. I digress.
Or a scorpion.
So they asked. So I guess the moderator asked, so your choices between Biden and Trump. It was like, oh my God, really? We had to decide about them. One is childish and one is senile. And I'm just like, and then had the audacity, one had to say, what about Robert F. Kennedy, who ain't really that far from them in age, who looked like he aged like dust? Like
Who
he
has
looked
a
like,
literal hole eaten in his brain by a worm?
yes, who has like a who can't even barely project this, like talk like that? They say he had a voice disorder, but at the same time, it's just like you sound older than the president. You literally sound older, and the president is old enough to be your father. Keep in mind, folks, he's a Kennedy child, right? And it's like you're not your father, because your father was definitely that dude when he was alive, more than your uncle. Your mother, who's still alive? Yes, Ethel's still alive, y'all. She's 96 years old, still alive. Who's to say she's supporting your dumbass? And you, her son. Because your brothers and sisters clearly denounced you. And your nieces, your nephews, all of them. Your cousins, your first cousin worked for the administration, and I think his nephew does too. So, yeah, these women are stupid. So, it's clearly a binary choice. And also, I gotta mention rapper from the Bronx, Bacalus. I think that's how you pronounce it because she's Dominican. Dominican. Trinian Dominican. Yes, Cardi B with her shit talking about she ain't voting this year. But I guess she's gonna vote locally. How's that helping? You live in Atlanta. If anything, you should
Does
help
she?
the
I
Georgians.
thought she still lived in the city.
No, she lives in Atlanta. Her family still lives up here, but she lives in Atlanta. She has a house in Atlanta. Instead of worrying about your riches, you should worry about making sure, because your fan base is Black women, it's Hispanic women, I left out Asian women, and the LGBTQ plus. So the fact that you don't care, you're not voting, you're like dismissing your fans' concerns. Because if that bum, hypothetically, he's not, but hypothetically, if he gets back in there, we're all for open season. So I'm letting all these undecided voters or people that don't want to vote, if you think that you're exempt from scrutiny, if that demon bum from Jamaica Estates get in there, remember your freedom of choice will be taken away. Your rights to choose will be taken away. Your right to marry will be taken away. Your right to vote taken away. Your freedoms that you were born with, your fundamental freedoms that people got their head bashed in, died to make sure that we have the rights, will be all taken away by that bum. And he's going to take revenge on this country. And if he lose, which he is going to lose, he's going to do more destructive shit. So I'm asking you to pick and choose your poison. And I shouldn't say poison, but pick and choose, because obviously it's a fucking binary choice.
I don't even think it's a binary choice. It's like, I don't know. They're sitting there saying that one was senile and the other one was
Childish.
childish.
Yes. Ooh, girl.
See, they say that and I'm thinking, oh, so you're just talking about Trump, because Biden is neither of those things. You know, and you can, there are legitimate critiques that you can have on the Biden administration or President Biden himself. But what cannot be argued is that fundamentally, Joe Biden is a good and decent man. He is a good and decent human being. He has the most diverse cabinet in the history of our country. He has made historic investments in climate change, in combating climate change. And it's like, there's no fucking choice to me. It's like we either stay with Biden, who is a human being and is flawed because that we all are, is a fundamentally good and decent man, or you're going to vote for the orange demon, who is going to basically burn it the fuck down to the ground. And these people, these undecided, quote unquote, undecided voters saying, well, maybe that's what needs to happen. Must be nice to think that you're not going to be affected by it. You know, it's like throw every marginalized community under the fucking bus so they can watch it burn down because they didn't get exactly what they wanted when they wanted it because we are a nation of fucking laws. They're children.
Exactly.
They're children. I'm gonna kind of piggyback on you a little bit with that.
Sure thing.
So you're talking about undecided voters, non-voters. Add on to that the uncommitted voters. Who are voting uncommitted in these fucking primaries and then sit there and say, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just a primary. Yes, it does fucking matter. Because number one, you're suppressing the vote for people out there. You're suppressing the vote, which is not fucking okay. And it's not like a lot of people expect Joe Biden to lose a lot of percentages to like RFK Jr. or something like that in a primary. But the point is, you still want the strongest possible candidate. That's why we have primaries, to pick the strongest candidate. And you sitting there saying that you're going to vote uncommitted to teach Joe Biden a lesson about whatever fucking cause you have this week, or whatever fucking personal problem you have against him this week, you're signaling to other people that you're not going to vote. Therefore, it's okay that they don't vote and that they keep an uncommitted vote. You're signaling that you may not vote in the general election. And in the general election, it fucking matters. It matters for the presidency. It matters for the Senate. It matters for the House. It matters in your state legislatures. Because I'm going to add on top of all that, the fact that Texas Governor Greg Abbott just pardoned someone. I'm not going to say his fucking name. He just pardoned a murderer. Guy drove into a crowd at Black Lives Matter protests, said beforehand he was specifically going there to kill some protesters. That's exactly what he did. He killed a Black Lives Matter protester and then tried to say, well, he had a gun on him. He had an AK-47, supposedly, on him, so it was self-defense. Well, number one, Texas has some of the most lenient gun laws in the fucking country. That dude was legally allowed to be carrying that gun outdoors. So what's your fucking excuse? So it didn't stand up in court. He got convicted. The parole board unanimously recommended him for a pardon, and Greg Abbott granted it. And why does that matter with uncommitted votes? Because when you're signaling that you're not going to vote for Joe Biden in the primary, you're also signaling you're not going to vote for him in a general election. If Trump wins the White House, you've got governors like Abbott that can get away with that. Okay? It's going to be even wider spread. We have justices that are aging. And if Trump gets the White House again, that's more conservative justices on the court that he can put there when cases like what Greg Abbott just did with that pardon go up before the court. That's going to have national implications. And even if it's not specific to Biden, if you're doing non-uncommitted votes, even in your state elections, that still has an impact because guess who is appointing those parole boards? The governors. They're not elected. They are seated by state governors. And Greg Abbott, thanks to my fucking demographic, won re-election. And this is what's happening. So, in effect, we have a right wing that says it's okay to kill protesters. It's okay to strip women of rights. It's okay to do another Muslim ban on day one, which, if you're fighting for the Palestinian cause, why the fuck would you want him back in office when he wants to ban Muslims again on day one? He wants to set up fucking camps for migrants. But you want to be an uncommitted vote because you're pissed off because Joe Biden isn't giving you everything that you want, and you think that he's king of the world and has any kind of fucking control over what's happening in the Middle East.
First of all, that shit was brewing in the motherfucking Middle East. You know why that shit's happened in the Middle East? Because they had years of fighting. If you read the Bible, which some motherfuckers never read the Bible, you will understand they've been fighting since before Christ. That's one. Also, when they moved during the Trump administration, when you motherfuckers should have went and voted for the email lady in 2016, when that motherfucker got in office, was cahoots with Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't call him BB, I call him by his name. Benjamin Netanyahu. They moved the embassy from a place somewhere because it was never in fucking Jerusalem. I know that. And I'm not even a foreign policy expert, but I know it wasn't in fucking Jerusalem.
And there was a reason for that because Jerusalem is a hotly contested area with both Jewish and Muslim landmarks.
And when he moved that fucking shit in there, that was already a mother fucking problem. That was a motherfucking problem that was brewing. And unfortunately, it erupted before an election year. It erupted before. And of course, the president's getting blamed for being an institutionalist. Okay, he shouldn't have been siding with Nimyatu. That's agreed. But at the same time, this man is also trying to get aid to Gaza. You know what's the problem? What's blocking it? Congress. You motherfuckers should have went in 2022 and voted for Congress. And yes, people think I'm gonna be a racist and I'm blaming the white majority, but it is the majority of white voters, especially those fucking independent voters, which sometimes I should look and have sympathy for them and should understand where they come from. No, I should not. Because first of all, at the end of the day, you're voting for your pocketbook and not voting for humanity because you're sending your fucking congressman to give money for your district, but to give money for other districts in the fucking country and for our foreign policy. These motherfuckers don't want to give money to the Palestinians. They don't. They don't care if Palestinians are dying. Y'all listening to the one Palestinian in Congress, but she don't speak for all Palestinians. And I understand her family passed away. I understand there's merit in them, but un voting uncommitted is no guarantee. You could have your staff call the White House, schedule a fucking meeting. You have access to the fucking president. It's not like it's the Trump administration where he's going to deny you and speak nasty about the Islamic community, which there are black people in the Islamic community. Let's not get that shit twisted. However, you have access to the fucking president. You could go there. You don't want to go there because you want to appease your supporters. Well, guess what? The money's about to dry up, boo. And yes, you may win re-election again, but people are kind of mad at you for this uncommitted vote. So if you think that you're going to get something out of the bum coming in there, Try again. And all these kids, Sarah, and you know this, they can't even find Palestine on the map.
Nope. It's insanity. These spoiled ass privileged kids, whether they are so-called independents or they're lefties, it's y'all are playing with people's lives. And it's like you claim to care about the Palestinian issue, the Gazan issue, but you're willing to put somebody in office that would raise Gaza to the ground because they're not doing what you, majority white demographic, wants them to do. Don't tell me you care about Palestinians or you care about black or brown people because you're willing to burn it all to the ground and put that motherfucker back in the White House because you're not getting your privileged ass needs met, what you think needs to happen, and not actually listening to the people in Gaza. Yeah.
And there you have it, folks.
Big breath. So now that we are done with our shot and chaser, we have our first interview of the season. It's been a minute since we've had an interview. So we have an interview with John Hetherington, and we're going to get started with that right now. All right. So we are having our first interview of this season. It's been a little while since we've done an interview. So our first interview of this season, we are speaking with John Hetherington. Everybody knows him as at Liberated by Gaga on Instagram, Twitter, all the social media platforms. John is a Black queer disabled activist passionately committed to liberation through dismantling systemic issues of race, sexuality, and disability. His personal experience, along with his background in religion and philosophy, gives him a critical lens to engage others in confronting injustice. He has also been featured in the New York Times, NPR, MSNBC, and numerous other media outlets. And a dedicated music fan, you are likely to see him at concerts supporting his favorite artists, Lady Gaga, Beyoncé, and Janelle Monáe. And as previously stated, you can follow him at Liberated by Gaga on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter or X, whatever it's called. So
It's still Twitter.
it's Twitter. It's
Yeah,
always going to be Twitter. It's always
exactly.
going to be
Yeah.
Twitter.
Bring back the damn bird.
So how are you, John?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. Excited to have
Great.
you.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you for being here. You know, like you didn't have, because we haven't had interviews in God knows how long, Sarah. Like it's been like almost a year, I think, or maybe a little bit over. So, getting right into it, you know, can you just give us a small background of your life, into your life? You don't have to be personal. You could be succinct. You can be general, because I know some people don't want to get too personal. You know, with telling us things. So, we know you like music. We know you like to go to concerts, but just give a little background of, you know, a little synopsis of your life.
I'm 35 years old. I'm from Oregon. I passionate about religion and philosophy. Like Sarah said, I majored in religion in college, and so that's something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about politics, obviously, or I wouldn't be on this podcast. That's something that's really important to me. Let's see what else. Yeah, just basically that. Politics, religion, you know, all the stuff that people tell you you're not supposed to talk about is all the stuff that I'm interested in. So, yeah.
He's an envelope pusher.
I try to be.
All right, so you are like in as your bio said, you are a Black queer disabled man, and you've pretty much been a lifelong advocate for all of those issues, but specifically for disability rights and access. We have made progress with the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, but it's been almost 35 years since its passage. And in that time, technologies and society have changed, lagging in a lot of areas. Where are we lacking in meeting that criteria nowadays? And what criteria do you think is lacking from the actual law?
That's a great question. One of the spaces, and I think this kind of ties into why people now know my name, one of those spaces is actually in aviation. Interestingly enough, a lot of people know the Americans with Disabilities Act, but they don't know that, do you know that air travel is not covered under the ADA? There's actually a separate act called the Air Carrier Access Act that kind of governs air travel. And unfortunately, because it's not covered under the ADA, there's a lot of issues that come along with that. A lot of damage to mobility devices, broken wheelchairs, all kinds of things that come along in terms of just even air travel. But even more than that, I benefit from, I'm on Social Security. And an issue that I'm passionate about in terms of Social Security is the fact that the limits that you are allowed to have to be able to receive your benefits are really, really low. If you're on Social Security like me and you have a disability, I'm only allowed to have $2,000 a month in assets. And if you have one penny over that amount, the government can block you, can take away the benefits that you need to survive. So that's a huge issue for me, is the Social Security piece. Not only is there a lack of benefits that keep people in poverty, as a queer person, my communities talk a lot about marriage equality, right? Like, we passed marriage equality and everybody thinks, oh, that's over. That issue's done with. In reality, we don't have marriage equality in this country, because if you are a disabled person and you're on Social Security, you literally cannot get married, because the way the government looks at the benefit structure is, if you have access to your spouse's money, that's over the limit. So you can be kicked off of Social Security. So there's actually a bill in Congress that's been introduced several times, but the current iteration in Congress is to raise that benefit cap to $10,000, so that people aren't having to live basically month to month worrying about, I can't have a savings account, or I can have one, but it can't go over $2,000. $2,000 is not anywhere near enough money for people to live off of. So those are just two issues, two areas that I see that need attention, that your average person isn't thinking about these issues, because that's not something that impacts their daily lives. So I think it's important to just have that knowledge out there so that people can learn about these issues and then hopefully get engaged in doing the work to change these things.
Right. So if there's some kind of an emergency, you're only allowed to have $2,000 in assets. If you have some kind of an emergency, there's no way for you really to pay for that because $2,000 doesn't really go that far.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Nowadays, hell no.
Nope. And I'll tell a story to illustrate another concern or an issue that I've experienced in my life. 2 weeks before I went to see Beyonce, which is the big event that, the world now knows me for, I flew to Seattle to attend Monáe had a tour at that time, and I went to go see them on tour. Well, after the concert got over at about midnight, I called for an accessible taxi to take me back to my hotel, and I just kept getting told, well, when one becomes available, somebody will come and get you. And I called everyone I could think of in Seattle and the surrounding area. I was stranded on the street for 9 hours from midnight to 9 a.m. At 8 that morning, my wheelchair died. So I was on the street with a dead wheelchair and no way to charge it, no way to move, in this city that I'm not from. So even issues of, again, transportation, whether that's flight or just being able to get like an Uber or a taxi in a city is an issue that can literally put you on the street, and you can call every resource that a city may offer, and they will tell you, sorry, we can't help you. I literally called the fire department. I called the police, which for me as a black man is a last resort and a huge thing. And they basically told me, well, sorry, we can't help you. They actually referred me to that same taxi company that I'd already been dealing with all night long. So there's, simple issues like that. Or another issue in terms of buildings and entrances. My freshman year of high school, it was a brand new multi-million dollar building. And I live in Oregon, and Oregon is, of course, known for rain. I didn't know that everybody else was going to, that they weren't going to be in the main building. They were in the gym, and I had no idea that I wasn't told that nobody was going to be in the main building. So it's pouring rain that first day of school, and I go up to the front door and I'm banging on the window because there's no automatic buttons to get into this multi-million dollar building that had an accessible kitchen for home ec, but no way for me to get in the building. I mean, simple things like that that people do not think about that I have to contend with on a daily basis, So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and there's a lot of areas where I hope people will get engaged and help tackle some of this stuff. That's my hope, but it's not a, there's no guarantee.
Right.
I live in New York City. Of course, you can hear my accent. And we have accessorized, and my sister is a amputee, but she uses a wheelchair, but most of the time she uses her walker. And sometimes they could be an ass. Even it's for people with disabilities and it's older people. And they pay the same, Sarah knows, they pay the same fare as, the people that ride the train. It's crazy. Listen, Seattle could do a lot better, right? So switch and speaking of the laws and everything, how can states improve access and rights to the disabled community in addition to following federal guidelines? Because people don't think like every community, every disabled person, especially if you're a black or Latino disabled person, you're like how they say open season. Like Sarah's community, open season. My community, is open. All of us here, we're open season. So how can states improve this shit? Like, I'm sorry to curse, but how can they?
No, totally fine. Being on this podcast, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think a main way that we start doing this is people got to get out there and they got to vote. You have to vote. And here's why. Because voting is a disability rights issue. If I can't make it to the polls, or if your hypothetical disabled person can't get to the polls, they're not having their voice heard in the process. And as much as people want to talk about all the myriad of policies and issues, it doesn't matter if you don't have access to be able to vote. If you're not able to have that same ability to have your right to vote expressed, then you don't have a seat at the table at all. So one of the ways that I think we start to do this is, I'm from Oregon, where we have mail-in voting. And of course, that's been a huge fight across the country. But that's a disability rights issue to me, because mail-in voting is accessible. Everybody gets mailed a ballot, and you are given the time to be able to fill out that ballot and then mail it back. You don't have to go stand in a line for 10, 15 hours and worry about not being able to vote. It comes to your house and you have the time to consider those issues. Not every election, but most elections here in Oregon, they also send the voter pamphlet so that you can read about every issue and look at how this issue is going to affect your community. And it spells out, you know, who endorses said policy, so that you really have the time to think about, who do I want to support in these elections? I think that's a huge issue. And I know that there's, like I say, we all know there's a war over mail-in voting that's been happening for years. But I think that's it's a central issue to me, is access to the ballot at all.
Right.
And even though this question is similar to the next one, I could phrase it like, how, like you said, we can better our communities and states by pushing better access by voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, speaking of that, has the Biden and Harris administration taken any meaningful action on the issue? And if so, why or why not? And do you still support the administration and their efforts, their election efforts, especially their reelection efforts? Because, you know, according to polls, you know, because, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, where I'm going to be biased. I'm a supporter of the administration. Yes,
yeah,
I want that little 80, that tall, because he's almost 6 feet, that tall 82-year-old yeah. man in November. He was born in November, to win in November, because he is no, people try to compare him to like Ronald Reagan and all these presidents, mm-hmm. and just like, nah, dude, like he's not even going through dementia, because like Ronald Reagan was literally going, I was born during it. We were all, well, except Sarah. Us two was born during the Reagan administration. Sarah probably remember him probably going, you know, going crazy and shit. I heard his wife was, you know, whatever. But do you support it? And do you think the administration has taken efforts to address the issues in the disability community?
And what would, and, all, if, and if they haven't addressed it enough, what would you like to see them address?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let me say, not only do I think people should vote, because that is fundamental and important, but let me say it this way. Not only do you need to go out and vote, you need to go out and vote for Democrats. You need to go out and vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You know, we don't do that enough. We do this thing where we say, well, we believe in voting, so everybody should vote, and it doesn't matter how you vote, blah, blah, right? We do that all the time. No, it matters who you vote for, and I'm telling you right now, if you care about issues of justice and equality, if you care about access, if you care about disability rights and abortion rights and reproductive justice and the environment and all these things, you got to vote for Joe Biden and you got to vote for Democrats. So yes, I support the administration. Now, are there things that they could do better? Certainly. I mean, I know it's kind of, we kind of joke, people in the disability community, or at least I have with several of my friends, around this piece about air travel, because love him, he's a good guy. I know he's working hard, but Pete Buttigieg and the transportation department, the Department of Transportation, put out this set of, I guess they called it the Disabled Travelers like Bill of Rights or something. And it's this list of stuff that is just so generic. It's like, you have the right to access air travel. You have the right to assistance on an airplane. I mean, things like that where, I get what they're trying to do in that case, and it is great, but They're definitely in terms of certain aspects, there is more work that the administration could do. And specifically on the piece about air travel, I know that they have met with disability rights leaders about making air travel better, because one of the issues that disabled people face on airplanes is basically we have to starve ourselves either before and during a flight. I don't eat or drink anything at all because you can't use the restroom on a plane, which is not something people don't think about that, right? It's out of sight, out of mind, because it's not an issue for most people if you're not disabled. But
Right.
sure, there are
Able-bodied people can barely fit in those bathrooms. You can't
bathrooms. I'm about
expect
to
a
say,
disabled
like, 'cause those
person
bathrooms are
to.
so tiny. I think people probably piss over the seat. That's just me. You know,
Exactly,
like,
you know.
it's like suffocating, and it's like you could easily like fall
Yeah.
using a damn
So
toilet.
I think there are things that obviously the administration could improve. Certainly, like I said, that Social Security bill, people, I wish that there was more of a push and more of a focus on that. But there's a lot going on and not everything gets the focus that it should. But I think they are working. I'll put it that way. It's not like I personally don't think we've been neglected, but it certainly isn't a top of mind issue, let's say, or a top of mind concern. But there's a lot going on, so I get that, unfortunately, some community has to get the short end of the stick or be low on the priority list, and disabilities, that's just kind of, you roll with the punches, I guess.
It's sad because our government is divided. Like it's been divided for quite some time, but like each year it just gets worse and worse. And each administration it gets worse. And this president, even though they can do better, and they could have pushed more for that Build Back Better agenda, but you gotta vote for Democrats and you gotta vote for them down ballot, like you said, John, because like you had Joseph Manchin the third and Kirsten Lee and Sinema, who ain't coming back to the damn Senate, which thank God, you know, we got to vote for more. We got to vote. They blocked the shit, and there was stuff in the Build Back Better agenda for people with disabilities because nobody shouldn't you shouldn't have to be like have a certain amount in your stuff. That's why people don't like to put their money in the bank, but we have to encourage people to put their money in the bank so it can grow interest. But some people, that's why people put money under their goddamn mattress. Some people put money like in like a susu or like something, because it's just like you going after my shit. Like this is I need to live on this. I gotta eat. Like
And because of the way that those policies work for disabled people, I know people who, you get that check at a certain time every month. Well, if you have a certain amount in your bank account and that new check is going to put you over the limit, I know people that will go but right before they know that check is going to come and then pull whatever money they have out of the bank because they don't want to get penalized for having too much money in the in their accounts. But it's crazy the way that it's really frustrating the way that that works. Another an example of this that I can give you from my own life. Several years ago, I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan, obviously, right? Well, several years ago, when she did the halftime show for the Super Bowl, I got invited to come be on the field and watch her perform with a bunch of other people. Well, part of that experience was that Pepsi, who was in charge of the halftime show at the time, basically paid for our experience. They bought our plane tickets and then they paid for our flights and hotels, all that stuff, right? Well, one day my mom got a call that said, "Oh, you need to come down to the bank because even though I didn't see a penny of that money, they didn't even give us physical tickets to the Super Bowl because that amount of a gift was technically considered over the limit, because I don't know how much, I probably like 30 grand or something, I don't know, you know, whatever the amount was, I had to go down and be taken off my parents' bank account because I just had the appearance of even access to too much money. So it's just crazy how these policies work does not make any sense. And it's keeping people in poverty, unfortunately. But, you know, that's just the bureaucracy for us, unfortunately.
I hope, you bring up the point of voting, and this, you're just reiterating why it is so important to vote for Democrats in the House and the Senate, because we know that that bill that you're talking about to increase the limits isn't going to happen under a Republican House or a
Absolutely
Republican
not.
Senate.
No.
And it needs to happen because it's, you're being forced to live in poverty down to the last penny for them to help you. And you have to survive.
It's a wild experience to realize that, you know, I'm in the process now of getting a new wheelchair and a new bed. And the fact that, for example, the bed that I'm actually in right now that I'm doing this interview from, it's kind of, there's a new standard bed and it's really terrible. It's actually not even big enough for me to like move around in. It's basically just meant to essentially keep you in place, basically. And so because I'm on Medicaid and Medicare, they will pay for you to get a new bed after a certain number of years. Well, I went through the process of trying to get a new bed and found out basically this new standard bed, which is the worst one I've ever had in my life, is the one that everybody gets. What they pay for is basically the worst option. And so, as you know, I had to do a fundraiser to raise the money to buy the bed that I needed. That's unfortunately still on back order, and I'm still waiting. It was supposed to be, they told me it was going to be delivered early April, and I am still waiting for that bed.
Oh
to
my
even,
God.
Once the bed gets off back order, it's going to take 2 weeks before the bed actually gets to me. So whenever that happens, I'm still going to have to wait 2 weeks before it even gets here. So right now I'm just making do with basically, you know, what I have to make do with. And it's not great, but I guess my point being, it's really sad that people have to go outside of the structure and fundraise for basic things like a bed. You know, that's absolutely unbelievable. Nobody should have to do that, but here I am having to raise money to have a bed, which is a basic need. You know, everybody should have a bed. And I guess the way that Medicare would say, well, you had access to one. Well, sure I did, but it wasn't great. It wasn't helpful. So, but this is everyday life as a disabled person. You've got to jump through hoops to even to get my new wheelchair. My old wheelchair I've had for 7 years now. And so I went through the process of having to get a new one. Well, the first step in getting a new chair is you have to go see a doctor. Well, I didn't have a way to get to the doctor, so I had to rent a manual wheelchair from a supply company here in town just to get to the hospital that's less than a mile away to go see the doctor for all of what, 10-15 minutes? I mean, it's just ridiculous. They wouldn't even let us. I asked if they would let me do it over the phone. They wouldn't let me do it over the phone. The hospital itself, I asked if I could, because I have caregivers now that come in and help me on a daily basis, you know, be able to get around and get ready and those sort of things. I asked them if I could rent one of the manual wheelchairs from the hospital that again is like a mile away from my house. No, we can't do that. We won't let you come get a manual wheelchair, bring it to your house, and then come right back to the hospital. So I'm having to, currently I'm renting a manual wheelchair that I've been renting for $65 a month since December because I'm waiting to get a new wheelchair, and that takes several months. I got the initial meeting in December, so now I'm just waiting, and until then I'm stuck with this manual wheelchair. And it's just like, these are everyday things that people don't have to think about, but I do. And that's why it's really important that people engage politically, because politics to me is all about social power. Who has it and who doesn't? And if you don't have the right people there, a lot of people are going to get screwed over. If Trump gets back in, we're all screwed. Even if you thought 4 years was just wait, because he's going to bring in people that are going to be sycophants, unlike what we had before. If you thought it was, he's going to bring in, I just saw a video on Twitter. Was that yesterday or today? Of the guy that's in charge of, we've all heard of Project 2025, right? Have you seen the video of this guy sitting in his truck talking about, oh, I'm gonna give out fake, I give out fake money to homeless people so that they think that they, you know, they come to me and they're hungry, and I give them these fake dollar bill, $5 bills, and this guy's sitting there laughing. These are the people you want back in charge of the federal government. Come, we can't have that. We people have got to get engaged. It's going to be really dangerous and really scary if people don't wake up and realize what's happening in this country. Because if you think the stuff that I have to deal with on a daily basis is hard, it's nothing compared to the plans that these people want to put in place. Like, so I, again, I'm preaching to the choir. I know that, but people, you got to get out there. You got to talk to your people and get them engaged, because it's, I don't even want to think about how bad it could be, you know, and maybe we really should. Maybe we should get scared. Democrats, be scared, because they're coming. And if we don't, if we want to do this inter-party fighting and the same old BS that we're always doing, you know, what's the saying? Republicans fall in line, but Democrats gotta fall in love. Forget that. Forget it. Don't fall in. I don't care if you hate Joe Biden with the intensity of a million suns. I mean, I don't get it, because he's a compassionate human being. I don't understand that, but even if, you know, there's all these issues that people want, he's old and he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Just wait, people, wake up, because if you let that guy get back in there, we're done for. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to get people more concerned and more engaged about these issues, because they need to be, because if you're not,
Absolutely.
it's gonna be scary.
I mean, even if you don't like Joe Biden, which, like you, John, I don't understand because he's a
I don't care.
he's a decent human being.
Very, very, very decent. Him and his whole family, and even
Yes.
our vice president, is a decent person. But
Oh,
well,
yeah.
listeners,
Absolutely.
we're gonna t cut in to take a break. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $5 a month.
And we will be back with the full interview for our patrons after our episode.
So, getting back to the show, we have our nominees for bitch ass and badass of the week. Like Sarah said, you so late, you don't know what it is. I guess you need to listen to season one. So anyhow,
Well, it's self-explanatory
it's
too.
really self-explanatory. Bitch ass is like who's been an asshole, and badass who's just been the star of the week. And our sister in crime is not here, but we have her nominee for bitch ass of the week. And I assume if I don't have it here, maybe Sarah has it, because like I'm thinking, like I'm checking like all our notes. We literally wrote down notes. We were pretty how can I say it? We were pretty freaking, what's the word for it, Sarah? Not
Prepared.
tech savvy, but
I don't know. I don't know. But
see the
I do have her nominee.
yep.
And I have a feeling this might be our winner this week, even before I announce it. Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, I heard that.
And his bullshit, misogynistic, racist fucking commencement speech or graduation speech. What the fuck, man? He has the audacity to say that, and all he does is kick a ball. He doesn't play the game. He doesn't do anything like that. He just stands on the field and kicks the motherfucking ball.
No, the crazy part is her life dream is to be a homemaker. You saying that a bunch of college women who's getting their degrees in like business and shit like that.
His
The audacity.
mother is a medical physicist. I'm like, does your mother know that you think this about her? Really? But people have brought up a good point with that too, because you know who's raising these misogynistic white men? White women. My
Exactly.
demographic. Anyway, that's Elyon's nominee, Harrison Butker.
Yes, and your nominee, Miss Sarah, is
David Trone.
he thought he was winning with that 50,000.
He thought he was winning, and it was like he sunk like tens of millions of his own money into that campaign, talking about, oh yeah, my kids don't care if I give away their inheritance, blah 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 blah. Okay, well, first I want to ask your kids how they really feel about that. But you're sinking all this money into your fucking campaign, talking shit, saying racist shit on the House floor, and then denying that's what you meant. Like, nobody accidentally says that word, right?
Right.
It's like, he's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. And then he got his ass whooped, and he deserved it because he's a bitch ass.
And to top it off, and we going with the Maryland theme, we're going with Mr. Lawrence Hogan Jr., also known as Larry Hogan, guys,
Oh, you
right?
changed yours.
It was always, oh, excuse me. I meant to say Bobby
No,
Zirkin.
you can change. I just didn't know because I'm
I
like
know
writing the
I
notes
was I thought
down.
I was going with like, because I was looking at Larry Hogan. See, I wasn't seeing my eyes. Like, girl, my eyes ain't straight. I'm tired. I'm actually going with Bobby Zirkin, the supporter of Larry Lawrence Hogan Jr. Excuse me. Bobby Zirkin is a Democrat. And he's supporting Lawrence. No, yeah, Lawrence Hogan Jr.
He's also a former state senator. Bitch ass.
Yes, the Democrats for Larry Hogan. These are probably the same motherfuckers that voted for him not once, not twice, but three times. So, you know, the Democratic nominee got an uphill battle because I don't trust the white folks in Maryland. Maryland is a purple state, but, you know, they had that motherfucker, that Humpty Dumpty, as a Republican. And this is the same man who, you know, been disrespected by the party recently, who's been called a rhino, and who also did not vote in the last couple elections when
I
he
don't
had the
even.
opportunity to vote for Joe Biden. He wrote in a dead man's name on the ballot.
I don't even understand how they have like Democrats for Hogan, because like Hogan is like anti-choice. He's pro-forced birth. He followed like. He tried to appear moderate, but he was still toeing the Trump line while he was governor.
He
So
really
it's
was.
like, How can you sit there and claim to be a Democrat and support fucking Larry Hogan? Like, for real, how?
And how he devastated the black communities in the fucking, and then did the HBCUs dirty there. So just like, there's Democrats. So yeah, Bobby Zirkin, guys. Sorry, y'all. Bobby Zirkin. So we have the rundown. We have Harris Butler, Harrison Butler. We have
Harrison
David
Butker, Butker.
Harrison Butker. Sorry, it said Butler on there. So Butker. We have David Trone and Bobby Zirkin, Democrats for Larry Hogan. Yes, I
Those are
immediately
our
felt.
bitch ass nominees for the week. Who do we have for badass?
So let's start with Miss Ileana, Mrs. Clifton's nominee. Who you have for her, Sarah?
Her badass nominee is Democratic volunteers in Maryland, like Tiffy and all the other people that worked to help get Angela Alsobrooks elected, like
Shout out
for
to
the
Tiff.
nomination.
Because Tiff was
So
a guest host on there, I think, a year ago, right?
last I know it was last season, but
Yeah, shout out to Tiff.
she and others like Reese, I think Condi. There was a
Kenny,
lot of there was a
Gwen.
yep there was a lot of people out there hitting pavement for Angela Alsobrooks. So
And also my other guy from Brooklyn, his name is leaving me, but Mark, yeah, Marcos, Gwen, Tiff, Reese, Kenny. Shout out to all of y'all doing the work. And Condi, my African queen. So what you got, Miss Sarah?
My nominee, interestingly enough, is not politics related. It is sports related. So, on the 14th, just 2 days ago, there was the newest WNBA expansion team released their branding and all that stuff. So, the WNBA is getting a new team, the Golden State Valkyries, which they will be playing in Chase Arena, the same arena as the Golden State Warriors. They are owned by the same owners of Golden State Warriors. They deliberately went with that name because of Golden State Warriors, and in Norse mythology, the Valkyries were women warriors. So they're called the Valkyries. They sold their logo's really cool too. Like the whole meaning behind their logo is like really kick ass. So if you guys have a chance to like check it out, please do so. It's awesome. They have already, the season hasn't even started yet. They're having an expansion draft in December, and then they're going to be taking part in the WNBA draft in 2025, and they'll start playing in 2025. So they haven't even started playing yet. They've already gotten like 10,000 tickets sold for their season tickets.
That's good.
And they just released the branding identity, and it's like it's amazing. I'm excited to have another WNBA team because we had just talked a few weeks ago saying that I was going to be following the Chicago Sky because the Bay Area didn't have a WNBA team yet. Now they do. So I have a WNBA team now. I'm happy. This makes me happy. And on top of that, we're taking the New York Liberty's assistant general manager and making her our assistant, our general manager.
Yeah, man.
And I cannot pronounce her first name, so I'm not going to disrespect her by trying. But she is a Ghanaian American, Ms. Nyanen.
Y'all taking out African queens.
Yes, we're bringing her to the Bay Area because we need some of that African queenness in the Bay Area. So that's my nominee, the Golden State Valkyries.
I'm gonna keep it real with y'all folks. I didn't really have one at first because I wasn't really paying attention because real life kicked in. But I didn't want to choose because this was originally Sarah's thing, because I was just going to choose the president again because I like the fact that he was challenging, that man to a debate. So he's always going to be an honoree person, like the vice president. So my nominee is Miss, well, now Senate Democratic nominee for the Maryland Senate, U.S. Senate seat, Angela Alsobrooks Brooks.
She put such a whooping on his ass.
And her
Double
interview was
digit
good yesterday on Lawrence O'Donnell.
lead over David Trone. She whooped him.
As she should. As she should. She, you know what it was? People did not know her yet because she was just a local at the time. And, I try not to get in people's state politics because, like I said, I don't know the demographics in certain areas. I kind of know it in Maryland, but it's like I don't because I know certain counties have rich black people in Maryland and some have like working class and middle class black people. So I try to like learn people's state politics, but she seemed to be more formidable. And the way she speaks very eloquently. She's not like loud and everything. You don't have to be a loud candidate. You just got to be a candidate that stands firm and know what they believe in and talk on the issues. And after watching her interview, she made it very clear. She made it very clear to her opponent, like, look, you can say whatever you want, do whatever you want. We already know who you are, sir. So shout out to her. And like I said, shout out to all our friends working hard, Tiff, Gwen, Marcos, Kenny, Reese, all of you, Natasha, forgot about Natasha in the Maryland area. All of you guys that worked on the end, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We greatly appreciate you.
You don't fuck with black women. You just don't.
And on that note, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Unapologetically She. You can listen to this on the different platforms. Remember to follow us on our socials at The Joyful She. It's all on our platforms. We're on Spotable too, so please follow us. And until then, peace out. Have a good rest of your week.
Hi. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Unapologetically She. I'm Sarah.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Eliane.
You can find us on all social media platforms at THEE Joyful She.
And it's because of listeners like you that we are able to share our thoughts on current events. Please support us on Patreon at The Joyful She.
We'll see you online.